the religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, The Gates of Hell. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday afternoon, February the 9th. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a game we like to play with our listeners. We have gathered four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio, and we've put them out there for you to listen to. We'll be playing them here in just a moment. After we've played them, it's your turn. You give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for one of these four to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Soundbite of the Week, and as usual, phone call voters get to vote first. Up first is soundbite number one. It comes from Dr. Ryan Anderson. We were talking about transgenderism, and here are his thoughts on using pronouns and proper names.
The most important thing that you can do for someone is to maintain a long-term relationship. And so if I have a family member or a friend who's transitioning, if day one I use the incorrect name or the incorrect pronouns to that person's face, that may shut down a relationship that will never recover. That said, you don't want to enable someone. You don't want to encourage someone in a false identity that can also cause harm. Nor do you want to kind of promote the idea that sexual and gender identity is fluid or exists along a spectrum. So when speaking about people in the third person, I wouldn't use incorrect pronouns. So persistently and consistently say Jenner rather than him or her. But if forced to acknowledge the reality that Jenner is a man who identifies as a woman. As far as first names go, I think first names are a more conventional matter anyway, and so you can typically defer to what a person wants to be called. Normally, I would defer to their preferred first name, but how can I both bear witness to the truth, encourage a long-term return to wholeness, and not destroy the possibility for a relationship?
That's soundbite number one, Dr. Ryan Anderson, transgenderism using pronouns and names. If you want to vote for it to be soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number two comes from our series with Dr. Thomas Korchak on classical versus progressive education. Here he is answering the question, are public schools spiritually and morally neutral?
I would say there is no such thing as neutral spirituality. And I would challenge any one of your listeners to come up with an example from Scripture that there is a spiritually neutral environment. There is no such thing described in the Bible. Even in the best of circumstances, if you take a classroom where God is not talked about, then that is a value. That says that the words of Christ have no bearing in this situation. My home country is in Canada. And I always like to say, if you want to see where American public schools are going to be, you only have to look at Canadian public schools. There are situations where, from early on, children are being taught about all sorts of sexual perversions now, where they're taught about how men and men can marry, how men and men can have sex together, how you can be transgendered, and that is a perfectly legitimate and acceptable thing. Now, in my books, that's not morally neutral in any way, shape, or form. Even if I train my child to ignore that, yet it normalizes it in the mind of a child.
That's soundbite number two, Dr. Thomas Korchak. Are public schools spiritually and morally neutral? Vote for that by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or we've left space at our Facebook fan page for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's soundbite number three. It comes from Scott Klusendorf, responding to what we often hear about late-term abortion. Why are you so worried about it? Only 1% of abortions are late-term.
This is an unbelievable attempt to deceive the public. 1% of 1.2 million abortions a year is 12,000. Now, I don't know about you, but if we heard of some case that was killing, intentionally killing 12,000 innocent human beings a year, I think there'd be an uproar about it. The only reason it's not an uproar with abortion is because people are assuming the unborn are not human. They don't argue for it, they just assume it. But in this case, we're talking 12,000 lives. And by the way, when you look at why these late-term abortions are done, you read, for example, Warren Hearn's book, Abortion Practice, the medical teaching text that teaches late-term abortion procedures, and you even look at the Guttmacher Institute, you see that the majority of these late-term abortions are not done because the mother's life is in jeopardy. They're done because it doesn't fit with the woman's lifestyle. In fact, if you go to the Guttmacher Institute page, which the author cites in this very article, the most common reason given is some disruptive event in the life of the mother. In other words, not a life-threatening event, a life-disrupting event. Something went wrong relationally in her life, and she feels the need to abort. That is not a life of the mother issue.
That's soundbite number three, Scott Klusendorf. Only 1% of abortions are late term. 1-877-623-6943. Here's soundbite number four. It comes from Pastor Chris Roseborough. Do we need women pastors to grow the church?
That's ridiculous. I would basically argue the church belongs to Christ. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the culture's church. It's Christ's church, and Christ has revealed in his word very clearly that women are not to have the pastoral office, or are they permitted to teach in church. This is just what how Christ has said it. And the reality of the situation is there's nobody, there's not a single person on planet Earth who doesn't go to church because churches have male pastors. That's not the reason. The reason why pagans don't come to church is because they're born dead in trespasses and sins. And having a male pastor, you know, isn't going to keep people away from hearing the gospel. They're already rebelling against God. And it's the preaching of the word, law and gospel, the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins that God uses as the means to resurrecting people and regenerating them and bringing them to penitent faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. So the pagan who basically says, I'm not going to go to church because you don't have women pastors, you may as well say, well, the reason I'm not coming to church is because your church doesn't have these parties where everybody can get together and kind of do sexual things as they want to. That's ridiculous also. Both of those concepts are clearly condemned in Scripture as sin. So pagans don't come to church because they're pagans. That's the reason why they don't come to church.
That's soundbite number four, Pastor Chris Roseborough. Do we need women pastors to grow the church? Those are the four soundbites. Now it's your turn. It's time to vote and pick one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. This break is a great time to call and vote. 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, February the 9th, playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. The religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our Book of the Month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Gates of Hell.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During February, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Family Shield Ministries. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
It is time to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, live this Friday afternoon, February the 9th. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Will it be soundbite number one, Dr. Ryan Anderson on transgenderism using pronouns and names? Soundbite number two, Dr. Thomas Korchak. Are public schools spiritually and morally neutral? Soundbite number three, Scott Klusendorf responding to the objection that only 1% of abortions are late term. Or soundbite number four, Pastor Chris Roseborough, do we need women pastors to grow the church? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're giving away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote on this Friday. Sonia in Illinois says, this was a difficult choice this week, especially because of all the sound bites shared a theme of the culture deluding itself into believing that sin is not sin. But my vote is for soundbite number two. That would be Dr. Thomas Korchak on the public schools being spiritually or morally neutral. Anyone questioning the value of Christian education would do well to look at the example Dr. Korchak has given in Canada's public schools. They do promote a spirituality of sorts. It's just a worldly one. The values that public schools instill in tender young minds and hearts can be devastatingly unbiblical. Sadly, with U.S. schools rapidly adopting the mindset of their Canadian counterparts, we can expect our children's consciences to be desensitized to the moral depravity around them. Sonia, thank you very much for listening in Illinois. Karen listens in Lawrenceville, Georgia, voting for soundbite number three. The reason is excellent demonstration of a critical thinking lesson I can use when discussing abortion with pro-choice friends and family. Happy to be of service, Karen, and thanks for listening in Georgia. Robert listens in California. Chris Roseborough in soundbite number four, my pick for the best today. We really don't need women pastors. Yes, even the Lord said to pray for workers in the harvest. He meant men and women. But when it comes to the priestly duties, we have Moses' definite declarations that men are the bearers of this duty. We women are the ones who caused Adam to eat the apple. We shouldn't be the ones in charge. The problem, too, is that women are ambitious and sometimes we know we're right when men don't see what right is. Still, God wishes should be above our ambitions. We make better helpers anyhow. That's because God made us to be helpers. Thank you very much for that vote. Nathan listens in Clarinda, Iowa. Nathan says there in Clarinda, here's a vote for soundbite number one, Ryan Anderson, on the use of names and pronouns for people who believe they are transgender. Not because I agree with it, but because I don't. I'll have to go back and listen to the whole interview, but from the soundbite, it seems that he's saying you have to play along with this person's delusion in order to keep the lines of communication open. Sure, he says avoid the wrong pronouns when speaking third person, but always using the person's name. But if he says, if Bob, he wants to be called Susie, you should comply. If you don't, Bob may get himself into a snit and never talk to you again. I believe if you're calling him Susie, you're already surrendering the truth. And once you've pulled up the anchor of truth, you can only drift further away from it. We are to speak the truth in love, not surrender truth for love. Keep up the good work, guys, says Nathan in Clarinda, Iowa. Thank you, Nathan. Chuck listens in Dallas. He's voting for soundbite number 4, Pastor Chris Roseboro. It's about time that we acknowledge that the New Testament is clear that women are not to teach men in the church. It's contrary to the word for them to do so. And a sign of, let's see, that must be apostasy when the church allows it. Sean says, I would like to vote for Pastor Chris Roseboro. Quote, the opening remark is the key reason. The church belongs to Christ. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the culture's church. When we humbly accept Christ and his word as first, then we will see clearly how to deal with issues like women's ordination, and we'll see how to deal with the difficult topics from those other soundbites too, abortion, morality, transgenderism, that being with love and never at the expense of God's revealed truth. God bless you all at Issues, etc. Sean, thanks for your vote. Don listens in Illinois. She's voting for soundbite number 2 because I think this is a notion that most people haven't considered and are now more recently having to cause to truly pause and consider as the education climate has changed so severely in the last few decades. Don, thank you very much for your vote. Nathan listens in Vancouver, Washington. My vote is for soundbite number 1, Dr. Ryan Anderson on transgenderism, for defining the tension between knowing and speaking the truth, but maintaining relationships with those who struggle or have been brought into transgenderism so that we can speak the truth in love. It's a tough thing to have to firm point to view and still bridge the gap. Scott listens and says he's voting for soundbite number 2 because it hits close to home for me as a teacher. Moving out of the public education into classical Lutheran education was one of the best moves I ever made. Michael is listening in Preston, Kansas, and he's voting for Thomas Korchak's soundbite. There was a time when I held to a certain personal philosophy that went something like this. No theology is better than bad theology. As I have mulled this over in the recent years, I have understood my error. There is no such thing as no theology. Dr. Thomas Korchak has emphasized this, and there's no neutral theological position. You are either for God and the truth that he reveals, including the law written in our hearts, or you are against him and chasing after false gods. Thank you, Thomas Korchak, for clarifying that there is no spiritually neutral position. Thanks for your vote in Kansas, Michael. The winner this week of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is soundbite number 2, Dr. Thomas Korchak. Are public schools spiritually and morally neutral?
I would say there is no such thing as neutral spirituality. And I would challenge any one of your listeners to come up with an example from Scripture that there is a spiritually neutral environment. There is no such thing described in the Bible. Even in the best of circumstances, if you take a classroom where God is not talked about, then that is a value. That says that the words of Christ have no bearing in this situation. My home country is in Canada. And I always like to say, if you want to see where American public schools are going to be, you only have to look at Canadian public schools. There are situations where, from early on, children are being taught about all sorts of sexual perversions now, where they're taught about how men and men can marry, how men and men can have sex together, how you can be transgendered. And that is a perfectly legitimate and acceptable thing. Now, in my books, that's not morally neutral in any way, shape, or form. Even if I train my child to ignore that, yet it normalizes it in the mind of a child.
That's the winner of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, soundbite number 2, Dr. Thomas Korchak. Are public schools spiritually and morally neutral? The LPR bundle package goes to Sonia in Illinois. If you'd send us your mailing address and your shirt size, talk back at issuesetc.org. Christian hospitality is the theme of the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine. You can check it out at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness magazine, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness. Next week on Issues Etc., We will continue our conversation on the early warning signs of fascism with Dr. Jean Edward Veith, talking about where we find fascism today. We'll talk with Dr. Jordan Wales about the alt-right identitarianism. You've seen it all over the news, especially in that gathering down in Charlottesville. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in prison. There is no moral or spiritually neutral position at all. There is a morality being taught by whatever school you send your kids to. There's no values-free education. Values are being taught one way or the other. The only question for the Christian parent is, are these the morals, the spirituality, and the values that I want my child taught that match with God's word? And sadly, tragically, in so many cases, what public education gives them is something quite different than that. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.